Okay, we are picking up from the top line on Zayin Amud Aleph with the words of Yesh Lad Tzedakah. Our learning is once again sponsored Lo'ilui Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So continuing with the Gemara's question about different cases that have Yad. So the Gemara asks now, Yesh Yad Litztaka. Is there going to be a partial declaration? Is that going to work for Tztaka? Oh, Ein Yad Litztaka. So the Achronim point out, some say for others, they explain that this question is not really based on the previous question with regards to Peah. It just parallels it in the one aspect is that when we have a Hekish, do we learn the Hekish completely or not? It's going to be Mavusas on that Inyan, but it's not really exactly the same as the case of Peah. So says the Gemara, Hechi Dami. Again, what exactly is the case that we're wondering about? That Rapap was wondering about. Ilei ma da'amar ha'din zuz le'tzedaka. If a person says that this zuz is going to be designated for tzedaka, v'ha'din nami, and then he says, and this one. So we could say, ha'hu tzedaka atzmei, that's clearly going to be tzedaka, clear. That's a full declaration. That's not considered a yad, because it was very clear what his intention was to give it to tzedaka. Ella kigon de amar hadin. Rather, we must be talking about a case where one says, "Let this zuz be designated for tzedaka," and then he says, "And then, and this one velo amar nami," but he did not say also. So that's the question over here, very similar to what we have before. My so Rapap was wondering what is going to be the lashon over here is going to be is and what's the halacha over here? Hadein nami l'tzedakah. Or did he mean and this one is going to be designated for tzedakah? Oh Dilma, my v'hadein v'nafkus be'almakamar. And he said, and this one actually I'm going to use for what I need. I'm going to use this for the supermarket or whatever. So very similar to what we had of v'hadein with regards to kedushin, with regards to peah. It really meant he was going to be using it for his own things. V'diburu de'laske, and he didn't have a chance to finish his statement. He meant to say that this is going to be for tzedakah, and this other one is going to be for my own expenses. He didn't have a chance to finish his sentence. Now, as we pointed out, the Ran pointed this out before, it's more reasonable to assume that in this one clearly meant that he was giving it for tzedakah. That's clearly the context which he was talking about. And therefore, lechora, we should assume that lechora, it's similar to a yad. But again, maybe that even if it's a yad that's mukhiach, is not going to work with regards to yadayim shemukhichos. Maybe that's even the question here is that even is a chal whatsoever. So the Gemara says, Mi amrinan, do we say, kevin to iskash the karbanos, since tzedakah is compared to karbanos, dechsib beficha, as we quoted the pasuk, motzes vasecha tishmar, vasisa kashin adarta lashem lokechan and davash asher debarta beficha. What comes out of the mouth you should keep, and just you vow to Hashem, and your nedava you should speak with your mouth. So this pasuk is talking right after the pasukim that talks about lo sa'acher l'shalmo, that you should not be delayed in paying what you're talking about, and so too, we see a hekesh of not delaying it. So therefore, we see over here, it says, b'ficha, v'zut tzedakah, and we learn out that this is referring to tzedakah as the Mefarish Rashi says over here, really not Rashi, but the Mefarish says, yatsa mipi tzedakah. We have the lashon of, that the reference is to tzedakah, the lashon of bifi with regards to tzedakah. So it's an allusion to tzedakah. So what do we learn from tzedakah? That ma karbanos ashenliyah, just as karbanos have a yad that's valid, av tzedakah ashenliyah, just like karbanos have a yad, so too the hekesh is including a yad for tzedakah. Or, dilma, maybe it's for another halacha, leval ta'achru the iskish, only with the lashon of delaying tzedakah. That there's a general rule that a hekesh is going to be for this halacha, that the halacha is going to be for the specific indication that there's going to be delaying tzedakah is a very big problem. People don't realize that. A person makes a pledge to a shul, there is a concept of baal ta'acher, of delaying that donation. So you should be very careful when a person makes a pledge to give to tzedakah, you have to be very careful to give that pledge right away. You don't want to be over baal ta'acher. Now, the question that some of the Farshim ask is that there's a general rule that Hekesh is Lechora going to include everything. So maybe this specific Hekesh, as the Ran points out, is like that of Peah because the Pasuk doesn't explicitly talk about Tzedakah. So since there's only Derech Remez that we get to the fact that because of Befi and the Befi is talking about Tzedakah, maybe the Hekesh doesn't apply. Because generally the Hekesh should apply to all Halachas and we should learn clearly that a Yad works. But since it's not explicit in the Pasuk that we were talking Bechlal about Tzedakah, that's why we have this question in the first place. That is what the Ran points out. Now the Achronim are bothered by another question. The Ramah Paskins that if someone makes an adava a neder to give tzedakah, or he has in mind to give a pledge to tzedakah in his mind. He says, "I'm going to give," and he doesn't specify this in his mouth. In his mind, he just thinks in his head, "There's a really nice organization, and he wants to give $100 to that organization." The Ramah says that that is binding. That is binding, and the person must give it. So the question is, that even if a yad is ineffective, the guy clearly wanted to give tzedakah. I mean, we ask him, what was your kavanah? Do you want it to have the, do you have in mind tzedakah or not? If, don't tell me that the lashon is like nedarim here, that it matters at the end of the day, even if he had it in mind according to the Ramah, alone, without the yad whatsoever. So why does the yad make it worse? So the Achrona point out, there's actually the Tur Evin and Reb Chaim Kanevsky, his Derech Emunah, wonderful sefer Derech Emunah, as a tal, he points out that really, that these nedarim, it depends. Meaning, when it comes to neder that you have in mind kol kulo, that you wanted it to be with only intent, as the Ramah's case is talking about, then it's going to be chal on intent. But clearly, when the person makes the yad, then he was showing that he wanted it to be bedibor. So then, our shaila applies that you kind of change the mechanism with which you're now chayav to give that tzedakah. And once you change that mechanism, if it's not a valid way of doing it, then even if your intent was to give the tzedakah, it's not going to be chal. A very interesting answer that the Achronim deal with is to explain this question. Okay, so that was the shayla that we have over here, which was not answered, that do we say it by tztaka? When we finish all these questions, the Ran is going to have arichos over here. We're going to try to summarize it in one sentence. Is how do we pass in halacha maisa with all these cases that we're not sure about? So now the Gemara asks similarly: Yesh la lehefker. Is there going to be a partial declaration for the guards to hefker? Elduma ein yad lehefker. Now hefker, you're making something ownerless. So if you want to make it ownerless, you're making that you declare it in front of three people, and you're saying that this is hefker. So if Papa is wondering, can a yad work for this as well? So the Gemara asks, Hainet Tzedakah, why is this any different than the case of Tzedakah? Hefker is very similar, that you want poor people to have it, so Lechora, this is a form of Tzedakah also, you want people to have it. So the Gemara says, no, because Imtim Tzelomar Kamer, you're right, that really, Rav Papa is actually following this question, meaning, if you want to say, Imtim Tzelomar Yesh Yad Letzedakah, if you're going to tie it to me, that there is a Yad for Tzedakah, so then, De'en Ekesh Samechza, because as we pointed out, the pashtus of a hekesh is that it should apply for all the halachas, so Baal Ta'achar applies to tzedakah, and also Yad applies to tzedakah, so then I'm going to follow that question with the following: is hefker min and hainu tzedakah? Do we assume hefker is the same halacha as tzedakah? Odilma shani tzedakah, tzedakah l'chazi al laniyim, aval hefker bein laniyim, bein la'ashir. Maybe you could follow the question with, is this similar to tzedakah? We know that tzedakah is only for poor people. However, when it comes to hefker, as we see, Beis Hillel says that it has to be for tzedakah for aniyim and ashirim. And therefore, I would have thought that maybe the case is a little bit different since wealthy people could take it, and maybe it's a different halacha, and therefore a yad would not apply. So, that was an interesting question of Rav Papa. The Ran points out that the Rav Papa doesn't ask about Shavuos. Why does he ask about Shavuos? So that's very pashut. He says because it's clear in the pasuk, Ish ki yidur nedar Hashem, oh he shava Shavua, which is a clear hekesh in the pasuk itself that Shavuos and Nedarim are the same. So there's just like there's a yad for Nedarim. Says the Ran, it was pashut to Rav Papa that there's a yad for Shavua. He doesn't even have to ask the question. Now the Gemara, we left off Rav Papa, we did not answer him yet. And the Gemara has a similar question of by Ravina, Yesh yad levet sakisei olo. Do we have a yad for a bathroom, a partial declaration for a bathroom? Is that going to be valid or not? Now, again, when it comes to halachas of a bathroom, the pasuk says v'haya machanach kadosh, that your area which you're in, your camp literally should be holy, which the Gemara and Brachos learned out from there, that it's usher to, within Dalet Amos of Tzoa, of number two, to say any Brachos or anything, Dorem Shekedusha, learn Torah, do anything like that. That's an Isser, actually, in Pashas Midoraisa. Now, that Lechora is only going to be for a full-fledged bathroom. Our question over here is discussing is an even further step, Mitzvah's Pashas Midirabanan, is the idea of Hazmana. That if you're designating it as a bathroom, so then that's also going to be considered a bathroom, and therefore you can't say dvarim shebekdusha there. Meaning, like you're in the construction stage, and you have the area where the bathroom is going to be. Nobody used it yet. Nobody even used the toilet yet. So that is going to be the shaila. There is a shaila bechlal bezmanazeh. How stringently do we have to treat our bathrooms? Our bathrooms might not be the same level of chumrah as the bathrooms in earlier times, because in earlier times, the tzoa, the number two, and the excrement, the things that were there, the number one, number two, they used to stay there. That was more like an outhouse, like outside. They have just an outhouse and you leave it there. So then it's going to have all the machber dinim of a bathroom where we say there's ruach ra, you have to wash your hands three times on each, six times total, wash your hands when you go out of the bathroom. As opposed to bizman azeh, when you flush it, it leaves. So it doesn't really stay there, the number two or number one. That is a shaila in the post-kim bizman. You know, the maisa seems to be the hachra of the poskim is to be machmir lechatchila for sure, that that we assume that since maybe some could stay, by the way, if it, you don't flush this fully, whatever, that we do treat it lechumra, and therefore we try our best to give it all the halachas of a bathroom that the Gemara talks about. But b'diavad, if a person said a bracha, it depends. If there was no tzoa actually physically there, then it could be that the b'diavad, that it might be chal, that everyone should consult their rav with. But that's important ta'ara about beis hakiseh bizman hazeh as well. So now the Gemara is wondering, now, we said that the din of Azmana applies. Does it even apply to a yad, a partial declaration of designating it as a bathroom or not? So that's the Gemara now. Hey chidami, what exactly is this case? Ilema de Amar, you're going to tell me it's where the guy says, Hadein Beisi Lavekisa, so I'm going to set up this area, is going to be this building, this area of the building is going to be a bathroom. Vahadeinami, and then he says, this one also is going to be a bathroom. So the Gemara says, Hahu Beisa Kisei Nami Hava. That certainly is going to be considered a bathroom, since that is a full declaration, similar to what we've had in the previous case with regards to tzedakah, with regards to peah, with regards to kiddushin. All those cases we say is not a yad, that is a full declaration. Ela kegon damer, rather it's the case where you say vehadin, and this one velo amar nami, and you do not say also. My hadin damar, what does it mean when you said and this one? And this one, Hadinami Beis Hakisei, this is the area that's been bathroom where you meant, you're designing your house, and you meant, Odilma, my Vahadein, Litash Mishmeal Kamar. Oh, that's going to be the bathroom, and over there is actually going to be the, I don't know, the changing room. And that's not going to be the bathroom, so that was going to be the Shaila of the Gemara, very similar to what we have in the previous Shaila. So the Gemara says, let's take a step back again. You're telling me that it's poshut, that if a person designates an area, you're in construction, you didn't finish the area yet, and you establish this area is going to be where the bathroom is, that gives it all the chumras, again, albeit Tarabanan, but the chumras of the bathroom. Ravina himself asked the question in Brachos. Ravina asked, is Hizmina Levesa Kisei Ma? What's the halacha if you designate something as a bathroom? So Hizmina Levesa Merchos Ma, or if you designate it as a bathhouse, also a bathhouse has certain halachas, also you're not allowed to have the Divrei Torah there. It's, you're not allowed to say Shema, it's considered an unholy place because people are naked there, things like that. So the similar question he asked about a bathhouse and about a bathroom, Zimun Mo'el and Zimun Mo'el, but he asked, is it Bechlal effective? So how could Ravina have this question over here with regards to, is a Yad work, which is seemingly a secondary question, that it's Pashut, that if you make the regular Hasmana, that if you decide this area is going to be the bathroom of my house, that's already the din of a Beis HaKisei and it's effective. And now he's asking with regards to a Yad, but that's Lech Ora, assuming as a davar pashut that it's considered, it's valid if you establish an area, but he himself asked in Brachos whether bichlal it works to even have hazmana by a bathroom. So the Gemara says, Ravina chadami goy chadami by a kapmaile. Ravina is really asking one question within the other. He means, he asked zimun moel in zimun moel, like he says in Brachos, is it even effective? Do you even assume that it's valid if you establish a certain area as being the area of the bathroom? Now he says, imtimta lomar yesh zimun. Now if you're going to tell me that there is a zimun, yesh yad o ein yad, is it going to be an effective one or not? Is it going to be effective if you do it through a yad or not? Meaning he's asking about the first stage also, that maybe it doesn't even work to designate a bathroom, because who says that the designation is going to create it? Nobody goes to the bathroom there yet. There's no tzoa there and nobody's changing there. So it's, why should it make it that it's not a bathroom? That's his first question. Now, if you say that it does, because eventually it's going to be a bathroom, the rabbis were gozer that it should be like a bathroom. Now my question is, do they gozer so far as to say that a yad is going to be valid or not? And the Gemara ends this all off with the bayle. This is one of the examples that the Tosos used to show that Lashon Nedarim is Mishuna, that it's different Lashonos, it's different phrases. Usually we'll end off with Teku. Here we just end off that this should be left unresolved. It's very interesting, the different Lashonos and Nedarim. This is one of those examples. And so the Gemara basically did not answer the question with regards to Kiddushin, Peah, Tzedakah, Hefker, or a bathroom. So the Ran discusses the Lachos of all of them. We'll try to again do it in one shot. With regards to Kiddushin, it seems to be agreed upon by all the Rishonim that it's a Safik Daraisa Lechumra. So therefore, Safik Daraisa Lechumra means you have to assume Midaraisa that he is married to her. If he wanted to stay married to her, he should give her a Kiddushin again, but she's not allowed to marry anybody else without a proper get, without a proper bill of divorce from this husband that gave her that money to the first person and said, Hadeh, and then and says Nami, and didn't say exactly what it's for, that would be a Safik Daraisa Lechumra. With regards to Peah, so the Rishonim also point out Lachora that it's a Safik Daraisa Lechumra as well, and therefore you should assume that it's going to be for the Aniyim. However, the Ran wants to taina that maybe the case of Peah should be different, because Peah is halacha with regards to with regards to a suffix mammon, even though it's a daraisa shaila of giving it to the aniyim, but at the end of the day, it's a shaila, is this money mine or the poor person? So if it's a suffix in mammon, we know the klal that takes precedence sometimes over suffix daraisa l'churma, we don't say there's a suffix if I owe you money. So therefore I should be machmir suffix daraisa l'churma that I should give you the money. That's the famous Reb Shimon discusses that shaila, why that is. Why don't we say suffix daraisa l'churma, it's a suffix gezel, if I owe you the money, I should be machmir suffix daraisa l'churma to give it to you. That's the whole shaila, but we don't say that. We say the halacha is, you have to bring a proof to take the money away from me. So the Ron Tainas here also, you should say the same argument. So that's the machlokas rishonim. How do we pass him by payah? With regards to hefker, everybody's going to agree, hamotzi mechaveiro v'araya, and we'll assume that a suffix with regards to a yad is going to remain in the possession of the original owner. You don't have to give it to, it's going to be hefker. And with regards to a zimun for beis hakisa, as we pointed out, the idea of a beis hakisa, an idea of tsoa, is a din d'oraisa that you can't say brachos there. However, with regards to making a zimun the beis hakisa, that's only a din d'rabanan, and therefore it's going to be a suffix d'rabanan lakula, and we are going to be makel, so we're makel on the last two, potentially the third one is a machlokas, with the case of kedushin being agreed upon, is going to be lechumra. Okay, now the Gemara continues, menuda ani lecha, I'm an indutur. That was what the Lashon of the Mishnah said, Rabbi Kiva, I think the Lashon was chochech lachmer, that he was not sure, but he said, he was like going back and forth, he was struggling with it, and he says, l'maisa, I'm going to be machmer. So says the Gemara, now, Amar Abaye, moide Rabbi Akiva, she'enu loka. Rabbi Akiva agrees that you would not get Malkus for violating this law, because Rabbi Kiva was suffik l'chumra. And since it's only a suffik, we can't give you Malkus based on the fact that he wasn't sure about it. He said, I'm going to be machmir on it, but he's not going to give you Malkus for that. De'im came because Abaye proves his point, that if you're going to say that Rabbi Kiva does say it's l'chumra, then nister Rabbi Kiva machmir. Rabbi Kiva says, I'm machmir, I'm ruling stringently. Not out of doubt, but I'm ruling 100% stringently, in which case, you would require Malkus if you violated the law. Since we don't say that, therefore we learn that Rabbi Kiva really meant that one is not going to be Chayav Malkus for that. So now the Gemara now discusses going into the case of Nidui. So it's important to know what's the idea of Menuda. Again, we understood it could be said in two ways. Menuda could be literally detached, and like a nida, and therefore it's detached from the person, and maybe it's a lashon and neder, or it's like a nidoy that it's going to be like excommunicated from you. So those are the two lashonos that nidoy can mean. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, bin adina minach, when a case of a person says, I'm detached from you, then tukuli alma lo pligi de asher. Everybody agrees that is going to be a lashon of a neder, and everybody agrees that you're chayav malchus, bein Rabbi Kiva, bein lachachamim, because that's a lashon of a neder. However, mishamta minach, when it comes to the case of mishamta, of shamta, which is a different type of neder, shamta is where you're excommunicating it from him. So then, even the Ran points out, even if you say, Shani Ochalach, that doesn't have the Lashon of Neder. Lashon of Shamta. Shamta of Shamta is meaning I'm excommunicating myself from you. Lukuli Alma Shari, then it's not going to be that you're going to be usher to derive benefit from your friend, since that is not a valid Neder. Tosos point out that Lachora, it could mean that you still meant that you're in Nidu in regards that you're not going to go within his Dalan Amos. So you're not going to be, meaning you can go to his house when he's not there and be neder from his things, but you're not allowed to, potentially, according to those, they deal with that, whether that's the case, to go within his dalat amos when he's around. Because maybe that's the lesson of excommunicated. You're not allowed to be with other people. That's the whole idea of excommunicated. So if you're saying, I am nidoy to you, that is going to be, like you said, I don't want to be with you. That's the shaila, and that might have the context of meaning that you're not going to be within his Dalid Amos. So now, the my plea, so Gemara now points out, again, what is the shaila over here with regards to Shamta, if it's only about Shamta, turning on to the next Amos. So Gemara says, Bimenuda ani lecha, specifically talking about a case where he says, I am menuda from you. And the Ran adds, and you said, Sha'ani ocha lecha, if I eat that which is yours. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Akiva Sarva Lishna Nedunehu, this is Lashon Menuda, which is clearly going to be detachment, therefore that is going to be a neder. Rabbanan Sarva Lishna Deshamtinahu, that's a Lashon of excommunication, and excommunication is going to be Lashon of not a neder, and it's not going to be valid. So we have this, it's important to note that we actually mentioned Shamta Nidu, maybe familiar with this a little bit, in Hataras Nidarim. Shamta Nidu, according to the Rambam, they're just synonyms, that they're both the Lashon of a different types of excommunication. The Ravid over there disagrees. He thinks that maybe that there's Nidu is only excommunication. Shamta is even a curse, that the person should die, and it's bad for him. Shamta is worse than a Nidu. Okay, but at the end of the day, that these are two different Lashonos of a type of excommunication that could be placed upon a person. The Gemara points out that this is Pligidur of Chista. This interpretation of the Machlokas Tanaim is different than how Rav Chista explained the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama. Dahu garva damar mishamtina benichsei debrei de Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. There's a person who said, I am excommunicated with regards to the possession of Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. So asala kamei de Rav Chista. So he came before Rav Chista to know whether or not this had a lashon of neder. Was he really not allowed to derive benefit from the possessions of Rav Chista bar Abba? So Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Chista said to him, Leis techash le Rabbi Akiva. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Since we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, your declaration is not going to be a neder. Kasavra b'shamtina pligeta. So lechora we see that the machlokes is with regards to Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, as regards to when you say mishamtina, even the lashon of mishamtina. The way that we said it before in the previous approach was that everybody would agree that it's a neder. And that wasn't a bilchal machlokes. Everyone agrees to that case that it's a neder, and the machlokes was only with regards to menuda anilach. That's the lashon. That's the machlokes. B'shamtina, everybody agrees on neder. This is the machlokes. According to Rav Chista, he understands. No, this is the machlokes. Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is whether or not in this case do we assume it's a neder, and therefore we would be mekel according to the version of Rav Chista. So this is a big nafkamina. Is how do we say it over? Okay. So the Gemara now continues to discuss the lashon of nidui and the halachas of nidui. A person is going to be chayav nidui. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah actually gives, I think it's 14 examples. He has examples of, let's say, a person who embarrasses the Talmud Chacham, a person who is mevazes ashleach based in different halachas that a person does malacha and er pesach based where they don't, and then they requires nidui. Different halachas that we give a person nidui for that we are put into excommunication. So the Gemara talks about it a little bit over here. Amar Rabbi Elai Amar Rav nidu b'fanav. If they excommunicated a person in his presence that he was there, ain matirin lo ella b'fanav. Then they should only annul that excommunication in his presence. So machlokas rishonim, why exactly should this be the case? Some explain that because you did the nidui, it's in front of him, so it's very embarrassing for him. So the only way they should really show him like an honor, a degree of honor, by undoing it in front of him to show, listen, you're hereby pronounced. It's like a shtach to him to say, oh, just like write a letter, okay, you're no longer nidui. That's not nice. So therefore, since you did this extra level of embarrassment, maybe he deserved it. But he should also at least get the dignification that it should be in a dignified way, that he should be undone the nidui. That's one explanation. The Ran explains a little bit differently. He says that if you do it in front of him, and then you remove it not in his presence, he's going to think that it's like, look, what does this need to do? It's like a joke. Like, they didn't even come to tell me in my presence that it's done. They just sent me a letter. It's like, it's not even a serious thing. Look at this basis. They're not even serious. So since people are going to take need to do it lightly, that's why they have to do it befanav. Okay, so this is the machlokas rishonim. So the Gemara says, need to do it shalom befanav. However, they do it not in his presence. Everybody agrees that matirin lo, bein befanav, bein shalom befanav. You don't need to do it in his presence. And both explanations would work nicely with this answer as well. According to the first answer, it's because you didn't degrade him enough to do it in his presence. So therefore, you don't have to give him the honor to do it in his presence to undo it. And according to the Ran, it meant that since he will take it lightly here, since anyway you started it without his presence, so he understood that it can be chal like that, that's how it works, so then you could also undo it not in his presence. He's not going to take it lightly, the nidui, because you didn't do it anyway in his presence. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rav, Hashem Azkaras Hashem Epi Chaviro. Somebody who mentions Hashem's name in vain. He says Hashem's name. So again, we're obviously talking about we did it on purpose. You have to put it in nidui. So again, so because Esher Shalom Makel Chatira, and you're violating this, you have the azus to do this in public, to say Hashem's name, to say brachas just out there, we're just making a joke out of brachas, then you have to go into excommunication. V'im lo nidui, and if you don't put the person in excommunication, then hu atmo yeh b'nidui. You yourself should be put in excommunication. So this is a very fascinating thing. First of all, it's fascinating because there's many cases in Lach of nidui. Why did Gemara mention this one? So they're trying to point out this lachora, because this is something which the person standing to the bystander who watches it and that fails to actually apply this halacha, we give him the punishment that ki'ilu you're in excommunication. I say ki'ilu because the Rishonim point out that doesn't literally mean that you're in nidui. Rather, it means that you don't, you didn't, you're deserving of nidui. The Ram points out, you're deserving of nidui. So that's because you saw this shtach to the Shem Hashem and you didn't do anything, you're deserving of nidui. And it's important to point out, anybody could give the nidui. It doesn't need to be based in, it could be a person who knows the halachas of when you're chayav nidui. You should say, hey, you are hereby in nidui and excommunicated from our community. Don't be around. You come to shul. The different halachas of excommunication is going to apply over here. So now, the Gemara says, Vayter. Because anywhere that Hashem's name is present, then they could also have a poverty. What does this mean over here? The Ran explains, because the pasuk says, wherever Hashem is, I'm going to give you a bracha, and that's talking about askaras Hashem. So that brings osher v'kavod. So then, if chas v'shalom, it's not that way. The person is being mevaz Hashem Hashem, then it's going to bring about poverty. Or the Ran says another suggestion, by Shuvah Sheker, we say, v'chaloso, v'es etzah, v'es avani, we should get rid of everything, and destroy him, destroy people who are not careful with Hashem's name. And we see, anios kemisa, we know that poverty is like death. Shenemar ki mesu kol anashim b'vaksim v'shachad. The pasuk is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu coming back. He fled Mitzrayim because he was afraid that people were out to kill him. They told Achei Noda Davar. There was the two Rishayim, and that we know is Dasan v'Aviram. They were the ones who said, he said L'rasha lama kedrecha. They said, oh, you're going to kill us like you killed that Mitzri. And he they ended up telling on him. So they were Rishayim who were trying to. Then Paro wanted to kill him, so he ran away because of that. So it says that Dasan v'Avira ended up dying, and you can come back. But we know that's not true. Dasan and Avira didn't die yet. So therefore, how do we know that so if they didn't die, so why is it Lashon of Kimesu Kol Anashim? So that's where you learn that Anias is like me. If a person is poor, he's like mace. So that's we could ask, though. The Achronim asked this question, the Ran asked this question, is that, but wait a second, we know that there's Arba Kanesham Kimes, people who don't have any children, a person who is blind, a person who's a Metzorah, and this case, I don't know if the Gemara brings down a person who has children, but the poor person is a poor person, a blind person, a Metzorah, and yeah, a person with no children. So the Ran points out it can't be any of the other examples because we know they had children, and B, we know that they were not Metzorahs because they were later in the Machane, and also they weren't blind because it says, even if you poke at our eyes that we can't see, we're not going to come lo nalo. And their chutzpah dika response to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see over there that they were not blind at that point. So that's what the Ram points out, and that's why we know that they were aniyim. V'tanya kol makom shenosnu lechamrim. Whenever the Chum set their eyes on something, l'rav, with like to condemn something, o misa oni, a person is going to either die or going to get poor. The Rush brings examples. We know like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai when he was leaving the Mara, so he was very upset at how people were acting. Everything in front of them would be burnt. So that's they were not doing aniyim. That also there was a case where a galus shel atzamos, a person looked at him negatively, became died from that. So we see that leads to that. So Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Abba, have a kamina kamina of Huna." I was before of Huna. Shamilach itus ad afka askar shem levatal. I saw a certain woman who was said Hashem Hashem levatal on purpose. Shamta v'shar le alta brapa. I put her in nidui and I immediately excommunication, and I immediately excommunication, and I immediately removed it afterwards. I saw that she felt so bad, she started crying, she bawling, and I did it right away. I removed it. Shemami, that's how we learned three lachas from here. Shemami, Hashem Ezkar Hashem Pichavera Tzarechanadosa. You have to put him in excommunication. So I had to put her in excommunication. That's the first halacha. Shemami, the second halacha I learned is nidu befanav in matirin lefanav. That if they have nidu in someone's presence, you can only do it in front of his presence. I did it in front of her. Shmamina in bein nidu lafara el aklum. That a person, you don't need to even have a amount of time. If she shows remorse right away or regret right away, you don't need to have it 30 days. Tosas akasha belachora moed katan. We say that a stam nidu is 30 days. So how do you explain that? Seems to be the Rambam and others explain that. Yes, machlokas between this Gemara and the Gemara in moed katan. Others explain. Tosas understand. No, they don't really. Maybe if it's only for rebuke, it's only to prevent something, then we would potentially be matir right away. As opposed to the other types of nidu, we might be longer. Okay. So as the Gemara now, Amar of Gidal Marav, Talmud Chacham and Adi Latzma Mei for Latzma. Talmud Chacham can excommunicate himself and revoke it for himself. He's allowed to do it himself. Ron quotes the Rashba who says that this only is to a case where you're not really deserving a nidoy, but it's an extra level you put on yourself. But if it's really a full-fledged case where you have a nidoy, then you're not allowed to revoke it yourself. You're not allowed to remove it yourself. So Gemara says Pshita. So either case, it says it's not a full-fledged nidoy, you're allowed to remove it. A prisoner is not allowed to remove himself from jail, meaning that's the same case why a person can't be matir zon adarim. Kamash Lander of Gideon is teaching us that this halacha is not the case with regards to nidoy. So Gemara says, Hechidami, what's a case where a Talmud Chacham might be excommunicating himself? If there was somebody in a Beis Medrash, Bar Rav, Beshamta, the person who was Beis Medrash who required excommunication, Meshamet's not sure at first he would excommunicate himself, and then other Meshamet Beirav, then he would excommunicate the Talmud and the Yeshiva. Because he wanted to remember that he'd feel badly for him. So if he felt he was in need with him, then he would be doing it. Other explained that, no, it was a lack of Kavanah Torah. Lack of Kavanah Torah, when you put a Talmud Chacham, what a bad name it is. When a rabbi does something, it's such a big Chil Hashem, because it's the Rav, he's a person, we hope that never happens. So therefore, since it's a Chil Hashem, he was putting himself in excommunication for the degradation of Torah and of Hashem, Hashem Shemayim. But as soon as he came home, sure, the Nashivad Hashem, he would annul it for himself and also annul it for the Talmud as well. Okay, we'll pick up the Amar of Gidol Amar of Yezushem in tomorrow's daf.